Welcome to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, brought to you by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. I'm Rich Calkins. That's Jerry Coyne across the way.
Yellow.
And week seven, Jace, in the books.
Jeez.
I know, it's just hard to believe. Only two more weeks of the regular season. It's incredible.
It does fly by, doesn't it? You look at the schedule and like, boy, we've got a lot of games, and they go by in a hurry.
They do, a blink of the eye for sure. And the first, we had some games of the week picked out. One of them did not disappoint. That Gladwin-Clare game, oh my God, JC, we'll get into more detail about that, but that was an incredible back-and-forth
game.
Yeah,
I can't wait to hear about it. Quite frankly, it was a busy week for me, and I fell asleep watching my Giants.
Right, yes, exactly. Yeah, there's just so much sports action going on.
Oh, right now, I mean, it is all compressed. It's kind of funny just looking at it. They're going to have two of these playoff baseball games on Sunday. And I'm like, why don't they just take the day off?
Right.
But I remember when the Tigers were great and, you know, I didn't care about Michigan football or the lot, you know, it was Tiger baseball.
Right. So, exactly. Yeah. Playoff baseball, man, when your team's in it, it's like, hey man, that takes center stage.
You know, and I you know how big of a Giants fan
right.
I am.
Yep.
And to see them take the Dodgers down. I mean, I hate the Dodgers. I've always hated the Dodgers. Even when I lived in L.A., I hate the Dodgers. So just, I know we're getting off track here for a second. But, yeah, I mean, and when the Cubs were in there, it's been a while since the Tigers have been.
Yes.
But you hang on every pitch when your teams are that good.
Absolutely, because you just never know when you're going to get back there or when it can happen. So, yeah, playoff sports, whatever it is just incredible, and that takes top billing for
sure. And that circles back around to the teams that are jostling for the playoffs. I know we have a different schedule for some of our coaches. We can't get Coach Eric Sugars from Cadillac Traverse City Central on till late in the show, but let's start off with the game that you and Tom Devitt did last night.
All right, sounds good. We have head coach Greg Vaughn talking about the big 36-0 win over Gaylord. We had a running clock pretty much the entire second half, and TC West came out. Coach Vaughn wanted the team to come out and play with more intensity. He wasn't happy the last couple of games, and Coach Vaughn addresses that here in the interview.
Coach, you seem a little better mood than you were last week. You wanted your guys to come out with some enthusiasm and some aggression, and I think they did what you asked.
Yeah, most definitely. I think the last couple of weeks, like I told you guys, we had a little bad taste in our mouth and didn't think we were playing to the level that we're capable of. And obviously tonight we came out pretty strong from the get-go. You know, us starting with the ball and going down and scoring, being able to do, you know, a few different things. It looked like Brandon was back to his same self that we saw in the first couple weeks.
Right.
You know, that hit on the sideline when he came off, I told him, hey, if you want to run the ball, you're going to have to be able to take those hits. So don't complain about how they hit you, when they hit you, where they hit you. You know, if you're going to run the ball, you got to be able to take care of it. So, you know, he did some nice things throwing, nice things running. Obviously, the O-line opened up some really good holes. And obviously, when you start running your quarterbacks, your running backs have to run things out, too, because they have to honor both of them. So, you know, all-around good game. And obviously, defense holding them to 11 yards. I think they were minus 8 in the second half. And like you guys said, you know, when you get the non-starters out there, which is something we always want to be able to do, they take great pride in that. And keeping, you know, the big old goose egg on the scoreboard and the yardage.
Well, you've pitched a shutout earlier this year against Alpena. But this was a much, even more dominating performance. You, like you said, 11 yards total, and it Gaylord never threatened.
No, I our guys have been awesome all year. This is a really unique group that we've got this year. Obviously, it's pretty senior laden, but you got to have guys underneath you that are willing to follow, and they are. And we challenged them and said we've got to be better, and we know we can be. We know what we can do. We've got to put that full game together. And I think today, you know, special teams, we had some big returns, too,
right,
from different kids. And I think this was a game that we put together. And the hope is that they continue to grow, because we do have a tough game and a long ride next week that our kids have never had. I've done it several different ways at different schools. And it's a long bus ride.
Oh, yeah.
It's a weird game time because freshmen are at 3, JV are at 5, and we're at 7, and we all know those games aren't going just 2 hours.
Right.
So we're going to have to deal with some adversity, and I'll tell you what, this is a group that I'm okay with dealing with adversity with.
If you don't have enough rooms on a bus, JJ's taking his van up there with us. Come with us. Now, let me ask you, Coach, we'll talk about next week again before we get more into this game. What is the itinerary? What is Friday going to look like for you guys?
So our freshmen will leave at 5:30 in the morning. JV's will leave at 7:30. We leave at – varsity leaves at 9 o'clock. Generally what we tend to do or what I've done in the past with teams is we get over the bridge and there's a rest stop right there in St. Ignace. Back in the day when I was a player, we'd stop. It was hunting season. They always had Hostess pies sitting there, and we'd grab as many as we could. Nowadays, kids won't even touch that stuff, which is crazy. But we'll go from there. Probably eat somewhere along the line, along the way. We'll have breakfast before we get up there. We'll have lunch somewhere along the way. And then when you get up by Munising, there's another lookout spot. So we'll get out, stretch, do those sorts of things. And, you know, we're trying to tweak some things based on kind of how we traveled this year. And we normally at home have a walkthrough at about 4 o'clock and then get ready for the game at 5. So we're going to try that when we get up there, have a walkthrough up in Marquette. And obviously, like I just said, we're supposed to play at 7. I really don't see us start until 8:30. So we're going to try to manage the time as much as possible, get our kids in a routine and try to keep that.
Right. Coach, you scored in 2 of the 3 phases of football tonight. You got to like that, you know, when, you know, Carson Douglas recovers the fumble. Who was it that stripped him, by the way? We couldn't tell.
Yeah, I couldn't see because I'll tell you what, our defense tonight looked like the defense that we're used to seeing, just rallying to the ball.
It was 11 hats going to the ball.
Absolutely. It wasn't just one green shirt we saw over there. It was a bunch. So I couldn't tell you because there were a lot of numbers. I'm getting old. My vision's not as good as it used to be. So I couldn't tell you who it was. I'm just, you know, I'm glad our defense played the way they did tonight.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, even with our bird's eye view up here, we couldn't tell who it was that did the strip. We could definitely tell it was Carson with the fumble recovery. But then also, like you mentioned, special teams, you had some great, you know, it definitely, Gaston looks like he likes to run to the wide side. He gets everyone going to the short side initially, then switches back over to the wide side, man, and he's coming close to breaking them.
Gosh, he's, you know, Gaston's a heck of a player and just explosive. And, you know, we've seen it this year a couple times, and then we had that play right on our sideline.
The hurdle.
I will not call it a hurdle because that's illegal anymore. I think the guy was on the ground. He stepped over him. But, man, that right there is a highlight. If you remember Le'Veon Bell.
Yes.
It was close to that, but that was fun to watch. And Will's an exciting player.
He is exciting. That's the second week in a row that he's brought the crowd.
Yeah, one-armed
2-point conversion last week, and then that non-hurdle that happened today. It was
we were hoping the video board was going to replay it down the sideline. We were really hoping for that.
I was hoping not because would have got.
We didn't want the referees to get back together and huddle after that, but just for everyone's viewing pleasure, we thought that would have been really cool.
Well, Coach, you got a shout out or anything you want to say here before you get back and celebrate this win?
You know, it's always great to get a nice win on homecoming, you know, when a lot of people come back. And I'm just proud of our guys, you know, continuing to fight. And it's hard to believe that we're already over 2/3 of the way through the season.
It's amazing.
And we tell our boys all the time, you're only guaranteed 9. You know, they're basically in playoff mode with us being a D1 school. I'm pretty confident we got to get 7 to guarantee us getting in the playoffs because the structure's changed.
Right.
It's point value now. And our guys eat it up. They just come out and they ask for more. You know, you guys see at halftime what we call STPs, and now the crowd's chanting it. And our kids eat it up. They believe in what our coaches are preaching. And, you know, it's just a fun group to be around. And we asked them this week, what do you love about football? Because that's what's important. You're playing this game.
Right.
Come out here every day. You got to love football.
Coach, officially, who do we play the last regular season?
So we're going to end up playing Detroit Catholic Central here at home. Yep.
Okay.
So they lost to De La Salle. We got whoever lost out of that game, whoever won it is going to win their side of the bracket for the Catholic League.
Right.
When you win it, you have to go to the Prep Bowl. Yep. So De La Salle won. They're going to the Prep Bowl. So we'll get Detroit Catholic Central up here. a quality opponent, obviously.
Heck yeah.
And it'll be fun for our kids to get that opportunity.
Anytime you take on a historically great program like DCC, it's a beautiful thing.
I want to mention something not related to your team so much, but the Record Eagle had the article about the playoffs system that may change. We have everybody invited. I know you're on the committee. You can't divulge anything, or you don't even know at this point, but what do you think the percentages are that we go to every team invited?
Well, you know, as I told James Cook 10 years ago when I was on the board, a proposal was brought to our Coaches Association board, and the proposal was 8 games and everybody in, and I can tell you right now 95% of the room said there's no way football's ever going to everybody in. I think COVID has opened people's minds to a lot of different things. I think schools are strapped for cash. You know, our trip next week is expensive.
Yes.
And so in order for us to continue to provide our students with the greatest opportunities, you know, scheduling is very difficult. And so I was part of the proposal that changed the point system to help alleviate scheduling conflicts. And it's working despite what people think. It allows people to play, you know, one or two divisions up or down and still get some quality points out of it. But I think after last year where everyone got in, I can tell you right now, I was at a board meeting, and that 95% is probably, you know, 40% against it. So I think us as coaches, you know, as we go, we say it's about the kids, and we know scheduling and costs and all those things are difficult. Look at us. Geography-wise, we're the largest school north of Grand Rapids. We're right. Division I. There's no one up here. So, you know, for us to go find competition and get those points, it's going to be difficult. You know, Saginaw Valley League, that's going to help us out. So my feelings, 10 years ago, I would have told you 100% there's no way I want everyone in. Now where I'm at, I'm fine with it. I just want our kids to be able to play football and not have to worry about scheduling and all that stuff.
Right.
And when you get in the Detroit leagues, you know, Cass Tech and some of those others, there's big issues.
Sure.
You know, with trying to find people that are going to play in. I can tell you when I was the head coach of St. Francis and we were kicked out of the league, we struggled, and we offered money to people, and they still wouldn't travel. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a difficult situation, and obviously if everyone gets in, no one really cares about how many wins you have and what the points are other than seeding. So, you know, my vote would be, hey, let's just let everyone in at this point. Every other sport in high school in Michigan does it that way.
All right, Coach, well, some good insight and a great win tonight on homecoming night. Congratulations. Go celebrate, and we will be talking to you next week.
Well, I appreciate it, guys.
Well, there you go, Rich.
Yeah, Coach Greg Vaughn there talking about the big 36-0 win over you know, a Gaylor team that's undermanned right now. But I tell you, they play tough. They play hard. They were undersized, but I'm really looking forward.
With a lot of pride and a lot
they
of
do.
Heart.
Those yeah. kids, I'm really looking forward to that Gaylor program in the next couple of years, see as it develops. Because, again, they have, by all reports, huge numbers at the freshman and JV levels. And so, you know, keep an eye on that Gaylor team. And, you know, there's going to be brighter times down. And they've won 2 games this year by playing tough defense.
They lost to Alpena 7-10.
Yes.
And they turned the ball over five times. Almost like the Lions, twice inside the red zone.
Oh, exactly. Those just break your back.
They just kill you,
yeah. Especially when you're struggling to put points on the board and you turn the ball over in the red zone, it does. It just absolutely hurts you. And you heard Greg Vaughn talk about a little bit about this proposal coming down the pipe there of all high school teams making it into the playoffs.
I was going to mention that. I was kind of surprised that he's for it.
Yeah. He's been on the committee for around 10, 12 years now, the coaches committee, and they discuss forward-thinking ideas and things like this. And they really, he was dead set a couple of years ago, dead set 90% of the coaches were against it. And then now he says he would be surprised if 40% were against it.
Well,
tide's,
you know,
turning.
You and I were just talking off air about, you know, different schools having different numbers in this move of, you know, Central and West going down to the Saginaw Valley League. And we were talking about what's happened in the Catholic League and the PSL, how you have to separate teams. And Brother Rice and Catholic Central are coming up here to play because the bigger teams in the Catholic League don't have all these Catholic teams to play because they don't think it's fair competition.
Right.
So, actually, when we talked about this yesterday on Friday Faceoff, and now listening to Coach Vaughn, maybe it makes a lot of sense because it takes one game out, so you don't have to find that one of the extra games.
Right.
And if you've got a 9-0 team playing an 0-9 team and they want to opt out, Maybe it makes some more sense than I originally thought.
Right, because obviously that the one team that doesn't win, their season's over and they played 9 games, just like you normally would. You know what I mean? And the team, and again, and you mentioned one of the key components in there is you do seeding like they do in basketball,
right?
Because that used to drive me crazy for years. Is that in high school basketball in Michigan, especially in northern Michigan, well, metro areas especially, you would have two top-rated teams meeting each other in the first game of district play, and you're like, what are you doing?
Well, these
are
just, great teams. That's just the teams. Way it was. I mean, we always played when I was at Brother Rice, we played at Birmingham Seaholm. That was the district.
Right.
And Seaholm would be in it, and Groves would be in it. But then they would always bring one PSL team out because they didn't want – for
right.
exactly the reason you just mentioned, they didn't want all the PSL teams to beat each other
right.
and never have a contender.
Yes.
You know, you have one team come out.
Yes, exactly. When you have great teams. So, again, still keep your district in the area, but seed them as to how well they played throughout the regular season. So it gives them a little carrot to play well in the regular season. So at least they could have a first-round seeding in that, and they'd play the fourth rated team in that district then, so your best teams aren't playing in the first games of district.
Yeah, you know, but you know as well as I do, you see districts and, like, a lot of times one of the teams gets a bye, and a lot of times it's the worst team in the district
yes.
that gets the bye. And it's so hard to evaluate. You got to tip your hat to the MHSAA for trying to figure this out. I know you and I have been talking for, you know, close to 10 years.
Right.
Because you really follow that stuff when Fox used to come out with the playoffs and
yes.
everything else. And they'll still have all that work to do. But you're going to see some really lopsided matchups in the first 2 weeks of the playoffs.
Yeah, no question about it. You will, and that's just the way it's going to be. You know, I mean, there's some ways you just can't avoid some of that just because, you know, there's just a huge difference between some of the better teams that are playing and the other teams that just kind of squeak into the playoffs. So it certainly will be interesting, JC. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, and that's the one constant thing as we see in sports and as in life, one constant thing is change. And it's probably coming down the pipe.
Just circling back to West. So, you know, we kind of figured that there wouldn't be much competition in that Gaylord game. But now they have a very interesting game coming up next week.
They do. They got to travel up to Marquette on a Friday night game and take a Marquette team. Now, Marquette, they got beat by Menominee last night.
Really?
Yes, they did. So
they're now on the edge of playoff.
They're 5-2.
Okay, so they should still
make
the playoffs.
Yeah, they should still get in.
Yeah.
But so they're going to be pretty angry about that loss to Menominee for sure. And so and West has had it. Their past few road games, they've for the first quarter or the first half, they've been relatively flat. So
can't do that against Marquette.
No, you can't. No. Because, again, we addressed it with Coach Vaughn. They're going to change some things on their bus trip up. They're going to make more stops, get the kids out, get them moving and stretching and all of that so that they're loose. And so when they get there, they're ready to play instead of sitting there on a bus for 6 hours.
Yeah, it's a tough ride. There's no easy way to get from Traverse City to Marquette.
For sure.
And so, yeah, I mean, we've seen a lot of different strategies. We've talked about this many, many times. The Grayling would have to play in Pickford. Or,
yeah,
you know,
the Menominees, the Kingsfords, the Nagaunis.
And whatever strategy they tried, it never worked. They would go the day early and get a hotel room, and that didn't work.
They didn't have the success against Menominee, didn't beat, but they had have a winning record against Kingsford, believe it or not.
Okay.
So they've done that. And the game, the loss that they had up in Menominee, Tom McCord and I were called. Grayling's going in under a minute to go to take the leading touchdown. They fumble the ball inside the 5-yard line to Nagani. They recover it and they win the game. And it was a heartbreaker for sure.
They should just play all those games at the dome.
I know. The Uper Dome.
The Uper Dome.
I would love it. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Fast track. And Grayling ran that spread offense. That would have been perfect for them during that time.
Yeah, but they, none of those schools want to give up that home field advantage, no. The hard turf. And
yes, exactly, because the Upper Dome's a cool facility, but just doesn't have the capacity to put in a couple thousand people in there. It just doesn't work out. Yep.
All right, when we return, we'll go over some more games, talk about the big Claire Gladwin game. We'll have Coach Eric Tunney talking about their victory last night over Tawas area schools and give you all the lowdown on what happened last night in Northern Michigan football and upcoming playoff races and the like. All that and more here on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show.
All right, welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne in studio with you. And joining us now is the head coach of the victorious Grayling Vikings, Eric Tunney. And Eric, a big 52-6 win over Tawas last night. Looks like you're able to get a lot of kids playing, and some of your leaders really stepped up last night.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, it was good team win. Like you said, got a lot of guys in, got a lot of good quality minutes, and I told the boys every win is good. So we'll take it, and you know, watch the film and get ready for Ogemaw next week.
Right. That's, you know, sophomore quarterback Ethan Kaharick. We've talked about him quite a bit throughout the season. Looks like he really played nicely last night. 7 for 10, 220 yards and 3 touchdowns. You got to like how he continues to mature throughout the season.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's a student of the game. He's spent a lot of time in the gym and on the field being a coach's kid. So, he's smart. He makes good decisions for the most part. And, you know, just getting him more reps and more experience, and he's only going to get better. So, yeah, he's definitely a weapon to have. And then, you know, he's got weapons around him, too, that help him out as well. So, definitely like his progress.
Yeah, for sure. A balanced attack last night. You only gave the ball to David Milliken 8 times. He still had over 200 yards rushing. So, you know, over 25 yards per rush. Not a bad evening.
No, he's.
I'm sorry.
He's all right. No, he's hard to bring down, and you know, you try to arm tackle him, and he's not going down that easy. So, yeah, it was a squishy field that rained there all day, but held off for the game. So, happy to get things rolling with him. The line made some nice holes for him, and he does the rest. So, and downfield blocking was great too.
I know we already talked about Ethan Kaharick, Coach, but with his maturity and being able to bring more of an air attack or more balanced attack, like Rich mentioned, that's going to be able to give you a different look than some of the teams that are scouting you that you're going to end up playing in the playoffs. I got to imagine that the coaching staff especially is really looking forward to being able to possibly give a whole new offensive playbook when you get into the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we knew going into the season that teams were going to key on David just because of the year he had last year. And, you know, they probably thought, hey, we got the sophomore quarterback. You know, he's probably going to make sophomore mistakes. And, you know, so far he's been pretty good with that. So, yeah, we have our playbook's huge. It's probably too big. Formationally and – you know, we'll take what the defense gives us. They gotta choose what they want to do and how to defend us, and we got guys that can make plays all over. So, we'll see how we progress in the last couple weeks here, and then once you get into playoffs. But it's nice to have options.
Yeah, for sure, Coach. And JC was mentioning, you know, you guys got some really nice wideouts too, and they stepped up. You know, 3 receptions apiece for Fisher, Dylan Craig, you know, those guys. I mean, the longs are, you know, 64 yards for Fisher, 39 for Dylan Craig. I mean, it just, you know, you've got almost an embarrassment of riches right now. But of course, as a coach, you, the more the merrier, of course.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we had, you know, with our ones, we had 25 offensive plays. So it was, you know, it's hard to get everybody the ball, and getting in the young guys, you know, you want them to get quality game, full speed reps too. So, You know, I like where we're at, and you know, getting more guys involved is always a good thing when you can. So, but yeah, I, you know, most teams have one or two decent corners. You know, some obviously have more, but you know, we got guys all over the field that can make plays. So, yeah, I looking forward to the next game here, and then we'll see what happens the rest of the season.
Coach, talk about that for a minute. You know, when you have a football program like Grayling does, where you have, you know, pretty top-heavy with seniors right now, but bringing up a lot of kids, it's so important for the kids. Not, you know, yeah, we want them to get the reps, but when they actually get to play in games and play meaningful minutes in games, they really feel like they're on the same level as the, you know, the the stars and the starters, and they can, you know, instead of being in awe of them, they, you know, they I'm sure your guys are picking them up, and just makes the team so much more of a single unit.
Yeah, for sure. We have seven sophomores up on varsity, so yeah, we are senior top heavy, but we also got a lot of young guys are getting better each week. And you know, I'm related to a staff member on Ithaca's staff back when they had their heyday, and you know, it was nothing for them to have five, six sophomores up and just to learn. And you know, it's so huge. You know, those guys could all be down on JV, and you know, JV team's undefeated, but they're, you know, maybe doing bad habits because they can get away with it. And but yeah, they're up on the varsity and learning from those senior dudes. And you know, they're going to be, they're getting better each week, and they're only going to get better as the years and months progress. So it's definitely an asset to have them. And I think the future will be bright for those guys too.
Right. Coach, you mentioned it early on in the broadcast here that you're preparing for Ogama. You know, Ogama always a tough physical team, and the team last year that you guys beat, and I really think was the turning point, what turned into be a great playoff run for you guys last year.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they, you know, I'm almost 37, and they've had big guys since I was a baby, you know, growing up right next to them. They always got big, tough physical teams, and, you know, we know they're going to play us tough. I know their record's not what they want it to be, I'm sure, but we know what kind of football they like to play. So, yeah, well, the good news is we played tough physical teams, you know, on our schedule, and we're used to it. We expect it. So we'll just start getting ready for them this afternoon and tomorrow, and, you know, make a game plan and get our last regular season home game. So hopefully Viking Nation will be out like they were last week. It was a pretty packed house.
Coach, did you say you're almost 37? Were they wearing leather helmets then?
I think so, yeah, back in the day.
I actually have an old leather helmet in my man cave at my house, so I'll have to bring it in sometime.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll fit on Coach's dome. Nice. He's got a pretty big head.
No, it's tight on my peanut head.
So, yeah. No, Rich and I both rolled our eyeballs when you said you're almost 37. My son's 35, so shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I told Jerry I had my first hip replacement at 37, Eric. So anyway, you know, we're just old guys talking sports here. But anyway, Coach, you got a great season rolling along. Best of luck next week against Ogama. Always a tough team, and continued success, and go Vikes. And it sounds like you're at a game right now, so cheering on those young Vikes.
Little youth soccer over here.
Oh. So.
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah.
Working on their footwork.
Good times. All right.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Yeah, working on the footwork. Right. Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot. You guys take care.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Head coach Eric Tunney of the Grayling Vikings. Eric, great guy.
Well, it's nice. It's nice to be, you know, they've had some challenging games, obviously.
Oh,
Lost to St. Francis. Lost a really tough game to Kingsley.
Kingsley, yes.
But it's nice to be able to have a game like they did against Tawas, where you're really not under stress. It's almost like a scrimmage.
Right, exactly. You're able, and maybe work on some things, JC, that you weren't able to pull out of the playbook against the Kingsleys, the St. Francis,
right,
or the Sault Ste. Marie Blue Devils.
Yeah, I mean, you're not under the pressure, mm-hmm, if we try this play and we fail, what is going to happen?
It won't affect the outcome of the game, for sure.
And it's so different to do that than under the auspices of a practice.
Yes.
You know, because even though you're trying to install some new stuff, the defense knows what you're going to do. So the defensive coaches are, hey, like, let these guys run this.
Yes.
And see if they can pull it off. And, and nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
I was talking to Chad Patterson before he left for the game yesterday afternoon, and I just spitballed, well, I wonder how much David Milligan's going to play.
Right.
He only had eight carries. You know, so you don't want to have a game where it's supposed to be a walk in the park and then somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, some freak accident, something happened that just, you know, can derail your season.
Yeah, and, you know, we do have a lot of great players on the Grayling team, as Coach Tunney talked about. But look, at David Milliken is a special player.
He is.
And, you know, it much as like we talked about, what's his name at Central? Josh Burnham. I mean, if something were to happen to one of those guys, there's no way to fill that gap.
Right, exactly. You're absolutely right. And we'll, when we come back from break, Jay, we'll talk a little bit. We'll go over some scores, what happened last night, playoff implications, all of that. And we'll talk about what a great honor Josh Burnham has received in an invite for an All-Star game coming up in January.
And later on in the program, we'll have Coach Eric Sugars from Traverse City Central on with us on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show, brought right here on Up North Sports Radio.
Oh, boy. Okay, welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show on Up North Sports Radio. It's presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group. And, JC, we had talked yesterday in our pigskin preview right after Friday faceoff about how, you know, some of the games of the week that were coming up and how this Claire Gladwin.
So tell me about the game.
Okay, the game back at Claire, packed house.
Right.
Gladwin scores first. Claire answers the bell. Claire scores twice. Claire answers the bell.
This is a Gladwin defense that had only given up, 14
18 points
total
the entire season.
Yeah, okay.
So back and forth, something you would not expect. 90 points total were scored in this game. 90 points. But
damn, I took the under.
I know it. Ed, but at the end, Gladwin, the Flying G's, pulled it off 48-42.
Wow.
They got off the 40-year schneid since it was 81, since the last time that they...
What a game.
What an incredible game, and good for them. That's, you know, they were interviewing kids afterwards and the captains of Gladwin, and you can tell what that meant for them, the emotion of that game, for them to come out victorious. Because, again, it's
a
rare...
They hadn't beaten Claire since 1981.
81, yes.
Wow.
Yep, 40 years.
I mean, you're talking about generations. That's longer than Tunney's been alive.
Yes. I mean, that's just incredible when you think about that.
Yeah.
You know, guys are almost 60 years old that played in that game the last time that Gladwin beat Claire.
Yeah.
So that's pretty
fantastic for them. So that... but Claire's still got a good football team.
Oh, they do. They're still battling for a playoff. They're 4-3 now.
Okay.
So but all of their losses have been against really good, tough teams.
Are they in the same division, Gladwin and Claire?
Yes, they're all in the Jack Pine this year.
Yeah. But I mean,
I think they'll play.
Is that five?
Six. Claire is 5 or 6 this year.
Yeah.
I'll find out in just a minute.
You know, it's hard to keep track because it changes so often.
But one of the changes I do like about the Michigan High School Athletic Association is that they going into the year now what division you're playing in. It used to be they would wait till the teams qualified for the playoffs and took the top 16 and then divided them into Division 1. And then the next 16 in Division 2. So you had no idea the teams that were right on the cusp. You didn't know if you were playing Division Four, Division Five. This now you go into a year, you know exactly
that didn't
where
make
you.
Any sense.
No, it didn't make sense at all.
No wonder you had to.
Oh, it was crazy
all day, like doing your taxes.
Oh,
trying to figure
yes,
out
exactly.
Doing,
yeah. There was a lot of calculus involved, and it was crazy. Let's go around and
let's hear some scores. Let's do the scoreboard update.
Yes, exactly. Some of the games in the Big North. Traverse City Central, of course, they won the Big North outright again in their last year being in the Big North as they're getting ready to head down to the Saginaw Valley League. They dominated an undermanned Alpena team 56-7. Cadillac continues to roll as they shut out Petoskey 35-0. And as we
that's a little surprising. Petoskey's been pesky, to say the least. But
they have been. Yeah. I was surprised as well. I expected them to score a couple of times, but I also have seen what that
Cadillac defense is pretty good.
Yeah, very good team. They really fly to the ball, no question about it. In the Highland Conference, Beale City, really good football team this year. They pitched a shutout over Manton 49-0. Also, McBain, they continue their winning ways with a 41-16 win over Pine River. The Jack Pine Conference, we just talked about Gladwin. They're in the driver's seat now of that conference to win a championship. In a really shocking game, Shepherd dominated Harrison. Harrison came into the game 5-1,
really?
Was sitting there quietly, and Shepherd won 40-16.
What was Shepherd's record?
Shepherd had won two games coming into that contest. Yes, that was shocking.
Harrison must be looking past to their next opponent.
Could have. They were really hoping to slide in if it played out right. They were hoping to possibly tie for the Jack Pine Conference crown.
It's not happening.
Gladwin.
Now.
It doesn't look like it's happening now for sure. Kalkaska gave a good Charlevoix team a run last night. Charlevoix did win it, but it was close, 32-30. So Kalkaska, they've only won one game this year, and it was their first game in about 4 years.
How'd that Mancelona game go? And I know that our buddy was James Cook was going to be. That was
right,
his game of
that
the week.
Boyne City kick butt and took names. They won 50-18.
Ooh.
Yes, they absolutely dominated from opening kickoff and just absolutely.
Was that in Mancelona?
I think it was a Mancelona game. Yeah, that was a home game for them.
That was an undefeated Mancelona team up to that point. So,
and they had a week to prepare, or an extra week to prepare because they had a bye week last week.
Wow.
So I'm sure they're a little bit disappointed there for sure. Glen Lake all over Elk Rapids 37-14. In some other Northern Michigan Football League stuff, St. Francis took care of business, but it ended up being a little closer at the end than what some people thought. But they did win 42-28. That's the most points that St. Francis has allowed all year.
Who was that against?
The Sioux.
Oh, that's
St.
right.
St. Francis went up to the Sioux.
Went up to the Sioux.
Yep.
Not a surprise that the Sioux played them tough in their backyard.
Right. And we were getting score updates throughout the night, and it was one of those games where St. Francis was ahead big early on, and then Sioux scored late and got a couple of touchdowns and could have been against the number twos, I don't know, of St. Francis. But still, St. Francis got some good work in, obviously, traveling. That's a very physical team, is the Sioux St. Marie Blue Devils.
Well, as we've mentioned a number of times, it's a St. Francis team that's really on a mission this year.
Yes.
They believe that the state title is in their grasp this year.
Yes. They made it to the finals last year, lost to New Lothrop, but this year they've come back with a vengeance, and look for them definitely. They're the number one rated team in Division 7 right now. So also, Northern Michigan Football League Legacy Division, Frankfort beat Harbor Springs 18-0. Coleman over St. Charles 42-6. Gaylord St. Mary's, the Fighting Kevin O'Connells, they beat Cedarville last night 30-12.
Okay,
so good win for Kevin.
Yep.
They're battling for their playoff
Cedarville,
lives.
And that means that Clyde's was in full force after the game.
Yes, good post game meal. It always sits better on the stomach after a victory for sure. Bel Air with a big win, 22-0 over Onekama. Sutton's Bay all over Marion, 45-0. That was one of the games to keep your eye on.
How did Kingsley perform?
Kingsley won. I don't have their score right here in front of me, JC, but they did win Let me see here. I can check that out momentarily. It was a nice win. They took care of business like they needed to. And let me see here. Bring up my stats. And Kingsley won 36-13
against
Algoma Heights.
That's right, yeah.
And we're 2 weeks away yet from the St. Francis Kingsley matchup. And that's why I was really hoping to get Coach Wooer on here, because Kingsley's won that matchup the last 2 years against St. Francis.
Well, so. Kingsley's got a very good football team. You know, we've already talked about this a number of times. Grayling, St. Francis, and Kingsley all kind of in a round robin.
Yes.
And now, and unfortunately, Grayling lost to both of those squads. But both Kingsley and St. Francis undefeated.
Yeah, exactly. Those. So this matchup.
The schedule makers did a good job by making this the last game of the year.
Week nine, yeah. And it's, yeah, St. Francis and Kingsley. So, yeah, they knew the potential was there, and it's played out thus far. And I would anticipate them both going in 8-0 in that final week of the season.
Yep. Very briefly, Rich, I know we talked about this yesterday during the Pigskin preview.
Mm-hmm.
Any teams that are still on the cusp need to win the next couple of games to slide into the playoffs?
Yeah, there are some. Let's go over some of those prognostications real quick here, okay. JC. I know we just have a few minutes before we get Coach Eric Sugars from TC Central on here. Division One, the only team up here in the north is TC West. Looks like they're firmly embedded into that district number one. And right now they're sitting at the number two seed.
Really?
So they could
host in Division One.
In Division One, right, as it stands. Remember, now this
Who's
is
the one seed?
Fluid situation. Rockford. Yeah. So it's anyway, but again, remember, everything is fluid because, again, what happens with all these teams the next 2 weeks plays into this. So
right.
It's like the hot lunch menu, subject to change without notice. So anyway, West sitting pretty right now with the number two seed. Let's go to Division Two real quick. Of course, the big team up here, Traverse City Central.
Number one in Division
Two. They are number one, sitting pretty. They would be the host against like Saginaw Heritage, Dow, Bay City Western. We talked a little bit about that in the Pigskin preview. So they're looking really good, looking strong. Of course, they have a big matchup with Brother Rice next week.
That's right. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes. Division Three, Mount Pleasant is a team that right now looks like in the general vicinity here that would be a number one seed in there. And also that includes teams like Marquette, Cedar Springs. So that's got
a huge swath of teams.
Oh, yeah. It is. Absolutely. Because, again, those size schools, hard to come by up here in northern Michigan.
Yep.
When we go to Division Four, then we start talking about the Cadillacs, of course, and not the car, but the football team over here. So Cadillac, they would right now have a number one seed as well.
Really?
In Division Four, at 4-2, they would be, because, again, their only losses were Division
West
One
and
West and Division Two Central.
Right.
But they would be playing with teams like Grand Rapids Christian, Sparta, and Ada are all in that Grand Rapids area, and they would be coming north, though, with Cadillac being the
host. Yeah, as
the
number one seed, that would be a big benefit to, if they can hold serve Grand Rapids Christian, a traditional power.
Yes.
So playing at home for Cadillac would be a big plus.
Big one, for sure. Yeah, you want to host as many of those games as you can for as long as you can.
Yeah.
In Division Five, quite a few teams from the area, and they're all sitting in the same district. A number one seed would be Kingsley.
Right.
Right now, a number four seed would be Clare, and that's iffy right now, but a number two seed would be Gladwin.
Right.
And another team coming that we're familiar with, a three seed would be Kingsford from the UP. So that has a big geographical area as well, JC.
Yeah, a Kingsley Gladwin game would be
big
news.
It would. That would be a great one.
Yeah.
Division Six, of course. That's, the Grayling Vikings are in that division, and they actually would be in District 2 because in District 1, right now Boyne City looking good to host, be the one seed against Gladstone and then Menominee and Nagani both. So it's a heavy UP minus Boyne City.
I'm surprised Traverse City St. Francis has moved to Division 7. They've usually been a Division 6 team.
They have been back and forth. Yeah. Last year they were 7. This year they are 7 as well. In District 2, look, right now, Reed City leading the way for a first-round seed.
Had a great season.
And Manistee.
Are they 6-1?
Yes. Yes, they are. And then Grayling would be a three seed, again, as it stands, and play Standish Sterling. So that would be – and if that plays out, that means Grayling would host a game in the opening round.
Standish Sterling always got a pretty good football
they
program.
They do, yep. Always a good big farm communities down in this Standish area for sure. And so that's how that would play out. And again, Division 7, like we talked about, Jason.
St. Francis,
no question about it. They're like by 11 playoff points would be up in front of everybody. Charlevoix would be in that district. Mancelona and Ishpeming Westwood as well. Again, subject to change.
Right.
So Division 8, let's quickly go over that, JC. And, of course, a lot of Northern Michigan teams. Beale City would be a one seed. Frankfort would be a two seed.
Frankfort always a great Division 8 team.
They would take on possibly Iron Mountain. So that's always, you know, those Western UP teams, always tough, run the ball, heavy, you know, they don't know, the forward pass hasn't been invented yet over there, but that's okay. So I know we got to get a hold of Coach Eric Shiggers here soon. Of course,
this is, like you said, subject to team and continuing to develop when we'll do this again next week as we get closer to the end of the season and really this playoff picture comes into clearer focus. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on the Bill Marsh Automotive High School Scoreboard Show here on Up North Sports Radio with a discussion with TC Central coach Eric Shiggers.
All right, welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, brought to you by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calk and Sherry Coyne in studio. And joining us now is Eric Shiggers, head coach of TC Central, after grabbing another big conference championship. Coach, congratulations on that as you guys won 56-7 over Alpena.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm proud of our team and staff and kind of the way we prepare for that game. And you're right, we finished the season 5-0 in the conference and outright conference champs, so we're pretty pleased.
Yeah, Coach, overall, you know, you guys, you know, were expected to take care of business. You did that. You got to like the focus of that team. But I wanted to touch base real quick. During the week, you had a player that really got quite a prestigious honor and got invited to an all-star game. Of course, we're talking about Josh Burnham, your quarterback, linebacker extraordinaire that's going to Notre Dame next year, to play in the All-American Bowl at the Alamo Dome on January 8th. Talk about that just a little bit, Coach, and what that means for your program.
Yeah, you know, Josh, certainly just a remarkable young man. I've talked about him, kind of a high-character kid, very humble, but, you know, hard worker, and on the football field, just an amazing talent. And he works extremely hard to become a student of the game, and certainly it's quite an honor to see him receive that. He's had national recognition. You know, he was a national recruit with the Power Fives around the country. Yeah, it brings a lot of attention to your program. And like I tell our other players, you know, the college coaches have become looking at him, but it also creates opportunities for other guys. And so it's just a credit to what, you know, our program offers here. Our strength and conditioning program is top notch, like one of the best in the state. With Coach Glee does a phenomenal job there. And so just our staff in general and what we have to offer is great. And then something that, you know, I think Josh is taking advantage of all the opportunities and things we provided for him here. And he's taken it around with it and worked hard and put himself in a position to win these honors. You know, it's a neat thing.
Coach, you've got, I got a little skin in the game for your upcoming opponent. I'm a Brother Rice alum from another century, but it's got to be pretty cool to have such a legacy program visiting you up here and taking on, you know, a school that's won over 100 state championships across the board.
Yeah, you know, we talked to our players about that. You know, at a point, you know, where we are right now, you know, the last 3 years, you know, winning the conference title the way we did, and Just proud of that, the three-peat. But I talked to our players. It's just about winning the big games, you know, and scheduling tough opponents, and it prepares you for runs in the playoffs. And so that's why we schedule a team like Brother Rice. You know, historically they've been good in the past, and it's just going to be a great matchup for us. And so it's one of those things that, you know, I'm excited about, you know. And you know, the fact that our players get to host that game, and you know, Friday night at Thurlby Field, you know, it's a quality downstate opponent. You know, if you're a high school football fan, you're going to want to be there. You know, if you're a fan, you're going to want to be there Friday night.
No doubt about it. You know, Rice plays in that tough Catholic division, number one. You've got Catholic Central and De La Salle and Orchard Lake St. Mary and Brother Rice. I mean, it's no cakewalk, and then Rice steps out of there and has to meet up with your team. So I don't know if they made a mistake taking your invitation or not.
Yeah, you know, no, it's not a mistake at all. I've talked to them. They do. It's a quality program. They have quality opponents week in, week out, you know, and it's one of those, you're right. They played De La Salle, who was in the state finals last year. They played Detroit Catholic Central, who historically has been good and right there. So those are the programs in the state that they're playing week in and week out. And their coach talked about that, you know, us being in the semifinals last year. They have a tough schedule this year. And, you know, that's kind of what we ramped up our non-conference schedule this year to get. We get quality opponents like that because, you know, it prepares our team to make a run. You understand where some of the good programs are, and it's kind of a measuring stick, too, for yourself, and you need to play those games. So,
and Coach,
we're excited about that opportunity, that's for sure.
Yep, sorry about that. Yeah, absolutely. You, this has, you know, huge playoff implications, Coach, because, you know, as of right now, it's looking like you guys are going to be a number one seed and host some games. Well, a win against a quality program like Brother Rice just really solidifies that, and you would love to host as many playoff games as possible there at Thurlby Field.
Yeah, we would, and there's a lot on the line. You know, every week there's a lot on the line. Like last night we talked about just finishing the conference season and finishing the outright conference championship. We did that, and so now there's a lot on the line. If you want to host, you know, home playoff games, you got to continue to win. And so we have the opportunity to do that Friday night. You know, win, and then we'll be one step closer to kind of getting that, you know, achieving that goal. But that's our focus this week. You know, trying to beat and prepare for a good quality opponent, and our kids are excited. You know, and hopefully our community is excited too. And like I said, you know, if you love high school football, Friday night, Thurlby Field, 7 o'clock is going to be the place to be.
So, Coach, you know, I haven't had the opportunity to see Brother Rice play this year. So you probably know more about him than what I do. Tell a little bit about what they do well and what you guys have to do against them.
Yeah, they're telling a group that, you know, they got. Just across the board, if you're looking at skill level, you know, offensive line's pretty big, physical up front. They got some weapons on the edge, and they're tight end, and also their receiver. So they're kind of a, you know, they're more of a passing style offense, but they can run the football as well. And again, just weapons. It's speed. It's size and speed. You know, sometimes what it comes down to. And again, when you're down there in kind of a larger populated area, and Brother Rice notorious for getting quality teams. You know, and getting quality players, you're going to see a lot more size and speed. So that's what we have to match up against, you know. And so I was talking to our players about when we played DeWitt week one, you know, I kind of look at it, this
right.
team's a little bit like DeWitt, you know.
Sure.
In the standpoint of where they're at and at least talent and skill-wise. And so, you know, in week one, DeWitt, hey, they handed it to us. You know, they did a good job, and we learned a lot in that game, and that certainly prepared us for a game like Friday night. But I always like to tell it too, like Brother Rice is a good program, but so is Traverse City Central.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. We're kind of building something up here where, you know, our kids understand that, you know, we want to be respected in the state, and how do you do that? You got to go beat quality opponents like this.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, you got to be real happy about hosting this team and not doing the long bus ride like you did against DeWitt in week one. And let's be honest, you're totally, since that second half of the DeWitt game, you guys have been a totally different team than what showed up in that first half against DeWitt in game one.
No, you're right. I think I've talked about it. You learn from those experiences and you get better. And we have, you know, every week we just kind of operated, you know, control what you can control, and our kids understand that. They're a mature group. We've gotten better, and it's just part of the process of getting better week to week and staying healthy, and this is a big next step for us.
Well, Coach, I'm looking forward. Thanks for bringing my alumni and my old school back up into the territory. It'll be good to see the Warriors play. Should be a fantastic football game, and we'll check in with you next Saturday and get your thoughts on that and what the playoffs look like.
Sounds great, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for supporting high school football as always, and go Trojans.
Go Trojans. Go Warriors.
Congrats, Coach. So there, Coach Eric Shiger's joining us.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. I really am.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a cool – I'm really interested to see how well Brother Ice is going to travel.
Yes. You said orange and black, right? I believe the Iron Men are orange and black, if I'm not mistaken. So you might – up in the Mancelone area, you might find some orange and black attire if you need some, JC.
Yeah, because quite frankly, Rich, I don't have any Brother Ice gear left.
Yeah. I mean, I know. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Right.
But, and not the greatest of Brother Ice teams, but you know, I think they're 5-2.
But when you talk about the coaches of
the past,
I mean, I knew about Al Fracassa in high school. You know, I mean, that was a coach that was legendary back in the 70s and 80s. It's just like these kids would die to go to sports camps with Al Fracassa.
Yeah, a great offensive innovator. You know, he was not a system coach. He tailored his offenses to his talent,
which in high school doesn't happen. No, and that was a man before his time.
Yeah.
You did people like you said, they had a program and the players adjusted to them.
He
was one of the first to adjust to the kids he had. He was an innovator.
They had John English and Dave Urema, and they threw the ball around. When I was there, they had a quarterback named Don Hendricks who ended up playing at Arizona State, and they ran the option. It was brutal. Whatever he had, they would start looking at the players and the skills that they had and install it.
Yep.
When I played there, I was a wide receiver, and we never threw the football, so I didn't stop playing.
It wasn't much fun for you at that time.
No, my senior year, the funniest thing was that we had a running, and I knew what we were going to do. We were going to run the football again, and I decided I was going to concentrate on basketball and left the program. And then Chris Shepanek, the quarterback, our senior, got hurt, and a kid named John English came in as a sophomore, and they're chucking it around, and I run into Fracassa in the hallway. He's like, "You probably upset that you left the team." I'm like,
"Exactly.
Can I get back in?"
Yeah. Big, tall target on the outside.
And next year they won a state championship with a huge passing attack, but they've run it. They've had a lot of professional football players out of Brother Rice under the Al Fracassa tutelage.
Yes.
And Mike Lotish,
who
played in a whole bunch of Super Bowls, and TJ Lang, who is a Detroit Lion. Just a ton of guys have played in the pros from Brother Rice. Like I said, this is not a tremendous vintage Brother Rice team. Their numbers are way down at this school. When I was at Brother Rice, it was 1,000 boys.
Right.
Now they're like about 670.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of the players that Brother Rice used to get are fractured all over the place. Mm-hmm. Orchard Lake St. Mary's getting a number of these kids.
Right.
UAD High getting a number of these kids. Catholic Central is a powerhouse year in and year out. They got a huge school out in Novi.
Yes.
But it's going to be a great game for Central to see where they're at. Coach was saying, you know, DeWitt tested us. We didn't start off that game very well.
Right.
But, you know, got their crap together and have really been flying high. I mean,
they've played really, Central's played one bad half of football, and that was that first half against DeWitt. Other than that, they have played excellent football for the rest of the year.
We were surprised at how dominant they were against West.
Yes.
You know, but they have a massive offensive line. And like you said, quite probably the best player in the state in Josh Burnham.
Exactly.
It never hurts to have the best guy on the field.
Never hurts to have highly talented kids on your team. That really makes you a better coach in all ways.
So we've got a number of teams that we broadcast. Who does TC West have next week?
They travel up to Marquette and take on the term that you wouldn't see nowadays, the Redmen. That's a nickname. They're hanging on to that one.
That's a two Clyder. Well, actually, Clydes will be closed by the time you're coming back through.
Yes, so I might have to get a couple of burgers and stuff them in my pockets for the trip home.
And then who does Grayling have next week?
Ogemaw Heights.
That's right. We talked about that as well.
Yes. So,
all right. So any other big games that you want to mention before we head out?
Before we sign off, we got to say the Roscommon Bucks, it's their homecoming game today. Again, they host Lake City. And the most important part is Judge Keith Gave judging those floats down there. And so, Keith, we want to congratulate.
Be fair. Keep it fair, Judge. Keep it fair.
Yep. Your Honor, do a good job, and congratulations on that once again, Keith Gave.
All right, that's going to do it for us here at the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show. Thanks to Bill Marsh and all our partners for putting it on, and we'll be again with you here next Saturday at 10 o'clock. Don't forget that we do the Pigskin Preview here at 11 a.m. on Friday mornings on Up North Sports Radio.